Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good day to all of those who are on this radio broadcast. This worldwide broadcast that's broadcast into all the nations of the world. You're either on the telephone if you're in the United States of America, or you're on the internet if you're in foreign countries. That way you hear the gospel preached in your own language, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, we want to welcome all of you to this global radio broadcast of the Church of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, the universal Church of Christ. All of the churches of Christ around the world are a part of in supporting this ministry and the cause. They support us by continuing the faithful work of the faithful doctrine and faithful preaching and teaching in their country and in their communities. All over the world, the Church of Christ is represented among the nations. But it's up to each individual who hears the gospel to obey it in order to be a part of the spiritual Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is a special night. We want to give honor to whom honor is due as we begin our broadcast tonight. So let me say, I'm yours truly, Brother Leroy Williams, co-minister of the Par Edition Church of Christ here in Wharton, Texas, USA. We have on our ministerial panel those who participate and support this broadcast in our teaching. That include my co-minister, Brother James Johnson, minister of the Par Edition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA. We also have Brother Lewis Parker, Jr., minister of the Church of Christ in Dickinson, Texas, USA. We have Brother Lewis Parker, IV, who is the minister of the Sugar Land Church of Christ on Voss Road, in Sugar Land, Texas, USA. We also have had Brother Don Kegler, minister of the AD 33 Church of Christ, USA. And we've had on occasion Brother Horace Robbins, minister of the Brookshire Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas, USA. We also have our broadcast moderator, Brother Bryant Brown, who is a faithful member of the Church of Christ, West Ward Street in Texas City, Texas, USA. And so that pretty well rounds out our ministers and our participants in conducting this broadcast. But we have a sponsor who pays for this broadcast. The Church of Christ does not solicit money. We don't beg for money. We don't go to the public to solicit support for our obligation to do God's will and to spread the gospel. We have brethren who are lovers of the truth and who care about the souls of men around the world, who actually pay for this broadcast each week. They are the members and ministers of the Darien Loop Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, USA. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Christ comes to you tonight, and all we have is the truth, the Word of God, the New Testament revelation of God's will for all mankind, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. All we have is the truth, it's the whole truth, and we have nothing but the truth to offer you tonight. We don't have our opinion. We don't have our philosophy. We don't have our parents' religious philosophy. We have the religious tradition and the religious philosophy that you can read about in your Bible. What we teach is written in your Bible. You don't have to go to the encyclopedia. You don't have to go to a dictionary. You don't have to go to the internet, to a website. You don't have to find out any definitions of what a church is and this and that. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is hear the word of God. Tonight, our program entitled Bible, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth, is having a special night for our guests, those who call in on this radio broadcast. Whether you are a member of the Church of Christ, the Universal Church of Christ, or whether you are a member of some other denomination that is not spoken of or even written about in the Bible. If you're on this call tonight, we're here to have you ask any spiritual, Bible, or religious question that you have, or even question what we teach in the doctrine of Christ. If you disagree with anything, this is your night to question us. If you want to know anything, this is your night to ask of us what the answer is. All we can promise you, ladies and gentlemen, is that if you ask a Bible question, a question of moral turpitude, we will give you the Bible's answer. We'll give you the book or books, the chapter or chapters, and the verse or verses that will explain and tell you your answer. That's what we'll do for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We believe that the Bible, the Holy Bible, we call it, the Holy Writ, that is the holy writing of God through the power of His Holy Spirit and the inspiration of His holy prophets. That word we believe to be the Word of God, and we believe it to be complete. We don't believe that God forgot to tell us anything that we needed to know in order to be saved and to go to heaven. Everything that we need to know is in the Bible. It's all in the New Testament Bible. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse number 3 through 5 that God has given us all things that pertain to our life and godliness, our life in the Spirit, God's will for our soul and for our life. Everything we need is in the doctrine of Christ. It's in the New Testament Bible. God gave everything we need to know. All we have to do is open our Bibles and read and study and meditate upon what God is saying so that we might make application of God's word to our lives, so that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your night. If anyone on this call would like to ask a question, you need to be on your telephone in order to do so. When you push number 1 on your telephone keypad, that will alert Brother Brian Brown to cue you into this call where you can ask your question live on the air. You can question what we teach. You can just ask us a question. You can even make a statement or comment if you like. If you make an error, we'll correct it. If you make a mistake, we'll help you out. We're not going to jump on you. We're not going to shoot the messenger. We're not going to beat you up. We're just going to make sure that you know and understand of the matter by the word of God. You got to want the truth tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You got to want the word of God. We're not just Bible-toting, Bible-quoting spiritual members of Christ's body. But we are preachers, we are teachers, we are faithful examples of what God's word teaches. So we're teaching from a heart of wisdom and understanding from God, and a heart of faithfulness to living according to the directions and the instructions of God's word. So are not boasting, but we declare that we know the will of God. If you don't know, we'll tell you. God wants you to know. The reason we know is because God wants you to know. Jesus says, John 8:32, he said this to his disciples. He didn't say this to the whole world. He said that to his faithful followers. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from the condemnation of eternal damnation in hell. That's what you want to be free from, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want nothing in hell. The Bible describes the condition of hell. You probably heard a lot about of hell. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of suffering. It's darkness. I mean pitch black darkness. It's horror. You're in a bottomless pit. Can you imagine being thrown into a hole or a place and you are free falling for eternity? There is no bottom. You just falling. And it's dark, and you can't see nothing, and it's painful, and it's hot, and it's horrible. That's what hell is. Hell is eternal separation from the God who created us in his image. Mankind was created with an eternal soul, a spiritual part that will never suffer physical death, but it will exist forever. But it was intended by God that we live with him in his spiritual realm forever. But because of sin and unrepentance, most men born throughout the generations from Adam even till today, the majority of men who were born and who live and die will die in their sins and go to hell. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 and 15, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, because broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Destruction is hell. And many there be that will go in thereat. Many folks going to hell. But look at who he says is going to heaven. He say, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life. And only a few will find it. Many are going to hell, but a few are going to heaven. Does that not tell you that the majority of men will live unrighteous and unholy and unrepentant lives and go to hell? Jesus is God. He is the revelation of the Father who loved us. He is the revelation of the Spirit who helps us. He is the revelation of the Son who became our perfect sacrifice for our sins. Oh, yes, that's Jesus Christ. He is not a man today. He was born in the flesh, but not by the power of the flesh. He was born by the spiritual power of God. The Holy Spirit produced Christ Jesus in the flesh. He has no earthly father, never did. You and I have an earthly father for our human existence. Christ is the only gotten by the seed of God, which is the spiritual power of God, the word of God, which is spirit and eternal life. That's how the man Jesus was conceived in the woman Mary. Mary did not know a man until after Jesus was born. What she had in her was the Son of God, the Holy Spirit produced. Read your Bible, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, and Luke chapter 1 and 2, and Mark chapter 1. Read your Bible. It's in your Bible. So we preach the gospel of Christ, which is the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We preach the God commands us and who created us, which is the word of truth. God is the word. The word is God. The word of God is truth. God is truth. Jesus Christ is God, the Word. He is the living Word. Now, Brother Williams, where is all that? You ain't gave us no scripture, but let me give you something to get you started. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's where it was in the beginning. The Word created all things, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things that exist were made out of things that did not exist. In other words, God made this world with his power. There was no dirt. There was no rocks. There was no sky. There was nothing that God used that already existed. God created all of it, this entire universe as we know it, all the planets and galaxies and all that, all the stars, the moon, the sun. God created all of it. None of it existed before God created. Only God exists, because he is from everlasting life to everlasting life. He is from eternity to eternity. He is without end and without beginning. God is that kind of God. He's eternal. That's his existence. God created us. Well, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 5 through 14, that Jesus Christ is the God who created all of us. Jesus Christ is the God who made this world, everything therein. It also points out that when he came into the world to reveal who he was, God of heaven, men rejected him. They decided that he was a fraud. They killed him. But, oh boy, they did not realize they were accomplishing the will of God, the plan of God before he made man. They were accomplishing it because God had already planned for himself to come into the world as a man, the Son, the only begotten Son of God, and to die after living a perfect human life, a life without sin, to die for the sins of man who would sin. Somebody said, well, how does God know man was going to sin? God does not exist in time. Time exists in God. Man lives in time and space. God fills all space. He encompasses all space. God is not bound or limited by anything that exists, so that God knows the end in the beginning. Oh, isn't that a powerful God? Who wouldn't worship and serve a God like that? That God promises to save your soul if you will obey his gospel. That's the God we preach. That's the gospel we preach. It's written in your Bible. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 17, again, Jesus Christ, the king of the spiritual kingdom, his kingdom is Christ's kingdom. He is the head of the spiritual church. The church is his church. He is married to the church, Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 31. He's married to the church. The church is his wife. He is the head of the church. The church is his family. He's the father of all the Christians, the children. That's why we wear his name. His name is Christ, and I'm a son of God. I'm a son of Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm in the Christian family, Christ's family. If you obey the truth, so are you. But many of you are not, because we know that there are over 600 name denominations among 1,500 languages of men in the world. And Christ only built one church. His church is not a denomination. It's not a part of anybody else's church. It's not a division of some other church. It is the church, the spiritual church of God. And it is, there's no division, no sin in Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. The Holy Spirit, by the hand of the Apostle Paul, wrote the scripture that says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that there be no divisions among you. You might be perfectly joined together. And that perfectly means completely agree together with the same mind, the same judgment, the same faith and obedience, the same truth. That means in Christ we are united by the one faith doctrine of Jesus Christ, the one church doctrine of Jesus. We believe the same things. We speak the same things in the true church of Christ. Now, if someone speaks anything other than the doctrine of Christ, note that is not a minister or teacher of the church of Christ, and the religious that he represents is not the doctrine or the church of Jesus Christ. That's what you got to know, because the Bible says Christ don't have no division. Christ's church is not a denomination. It is the one true church. It is the spiritual body of Christ. Christ only had one body. He only had one body in the flesh, and he only has one body in the spirit. He only had one wife in the spirit. That's his church. He is only one Lord. He is the Lord of the Old Testament and the New. Somebody say, well, Jesus didn't exist in the Old Testament. That's a lie, Jehovah's Witness. He is the Lord God of the Old Testament and the New. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Almighty God of the Old Testament and the New. He is the living God, who is the only Savior for every man's soul. He saved Abraham's soul. He saved David's soul. He saved Adam's soul. He saved all of the faithful of the Old Testament, and he is the Savior of the New Testament. Well, how do you say that, Brother William? The Old Testament were dead when Christ died. Salvation is in the New Testament. It's the Church of Christ. The Old Testament faithful are members of the spiritual church of Christ, because it is the spiritual kingdom of Christ, because Christ's blood reached back to them and cleansed them or freed them from the condemnation of their sins, which they died with, because everybody knows, according to Hebrews chapter 7, 8, and 9, that the blood of bulls and goats could not remove man's sin. God just forgave man temporarily. It was just a temporary thing, but it was not permanent. So the true salvation of God came through, it reaches back to save all the faithful of the Old Testament. The unfaithful are still condemned in their sin, just like the unfaithful today who die in their sin are condemned to eternity in hell. You got to come to Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Christ freed Abraham from the prison of his sin. That's in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19. Write that down, because you need to know this so that you understand what God has done. Then you won't be confused when you hear religious lies taught by false teachers and false apostles and false fathers and false priests and false popes, false pastors, so-called. Men are ready to wear the names and the dignity and the honor that God has in the Bible, even call themselves reverend, a name that only applies to God himself. No man can qualify to be a reverend according to the scriptures. Psalms chapter 111 and verse 9. He has sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name, not the Pope. Oh, yeah, they call the Pope the Holy See. That's a lie. God is the Holy See. God knows everything. God sees everything. God has all power. The Son of God is God, not the Pope, not the pastor, not the priest, but Jesus Christ, who is God and our Savior, the only begotten Son of God in the flesh. We are the sons of our earthly fathers in the flesh. We are the sons of God in the spirit because we are born unto God and into Christ. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Jesus told Nicodemus when he came to him, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, what do you mean? I'm an old man. Are you saying I need to go back into my mother's womb and be born as a brand new baby? Jesus says, a man must be born of water and the Holy Spirit in order to see the kingdom of God. You can't even understand what Jesus said until you are believing and obedient to the word of the gospel. It's called baptism. The holy baptism, the new birth, is baptism into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 38 through 47. Baptism is not for church membership. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, baptism is for the remission of sin. Once our sins are forgiven, we are automatically a part of the spiritual family, the spiritual household, the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual church of Christ, because we are born into it out of sinful death. We are born unto eternal life. Eternal life is only in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. There is no sin in Christ. There's only salvation. And Christ gives those who obey him eternal life, salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. He is the author, producer of it, and he is the only one who can give you eternal life. Therefore, we teach these things because the Bible says so. But if you don't believe these things, you have the right to tell me why right now. You have the right to ask me or question me about what we teach. If you don't believe the scriptures or if you don't understand them, we'll help you. This is your opportunity tonight. It's Bible questions and answers. And you can ask your question at any time. You can interrupt Brother Williams or whoever is speaking by pushing number one on your telephone keypad. Brother Brown will stop me and let me know that there's a question on the floor. You can ask your question, and we'll teach the word of God based on answering your question. God bless you tonight. Let's take a moment to pray. We want to ask God to bless this night, this gathering. Bless this broadcast that many honest souls will be obedient to the truth. Dear God, we're thankful to you for this broadcast. We're thankful for the Darien Luke Church of Christ. We're thankful for the ministers who serve in this spiritual broadcast each week and each evening. We're thankful, dear God, for the faithful churches, faithful members of the Church of Christ around the world who also participate in listening and supporting this preaching of the gospel. We're thankful, dear God, for all of those who listen to this word, listen to this gospel message, who are not members of the spiritual Church of Christ, because we know that if they believe the truth, they can be saved. And we have the responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every man worldwide. Jesus says in Mark 16, 15 and 16, you said, go and preach the gospel to everybody. Whoever believes and obeys the gospel and is baptized for the remission of their sins shall be saved. That's why we do this, dear God. And we are praying that you bless this ministry to continue and bless us to continue to teach the truth, that much and everlasting good will come from these efforts. We thank you for all of the blessings, life, especially the blessings of the spirit relationship that calls us, dear God, to have the ability to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Continue to bless us, dear God, according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, are there any questions for the ministers or myself by anyone who's listening tonight? You have a question? We implore. We encourage you. We want you. Ask your question. Push number one on the telephone keypad. Let's hear your question tonight. Are there anyone wanting to ask a question tonight, Brother Brown? All right. Brother Brown has not indicated that anybody wants to ask a question, so we're going to continue to teach and to complete this broadcast. We want you to know that there's only one true church of Jesus Christ. Not 100, not 500, not 600, but there's only one true church of Jesus Christ. It is a worldwide kingdom. It can handle and it can accept every soul that wants to obey and be a part of it. God is not saving bodies. He's not saving human bodies. He's not saving physical lives for eternal life. He is saving the soul man, the soul of man, the spiritual being that man is. That's what God is saving. As I pointed out, the majority of souls are not obeying God. But for those who do, he saves them. The Church of Christ is big enough. The kingdom of Christ is broad and large enough to accept every soul that wants to be a citizen and member of it. The Church of Christ is spirit. It's not a brick and mortar building built by man's hand and erected on a corner or on a city block on a foundation of concrete, brick. That's not the Church of Christ. That's a meeting place. That's where the Church of Christ goes to meet. They go to worship there. But the Church of Christ is made up of the spiritual saved souls of those who have obeyed the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ. By one spirit, that's the spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit of God. Baptism puts you into Christ. When you're in Christ, you're in his body. His body is his church, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. Christ is the head of the one body, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 27. He is the head of the church, Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, still the church. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 23 and 22. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has the answer. That's the church that Christ built. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus is the only person, the only man on the planet Earth that ever declared that he would build his own church, and it's written in the Bible. Is the builder of your religious church, your religious doctrine, is he named in the Bible? Did he claim he was going to build your church religion? Where is that in the Bible? Brother William got some questions for those who are not obedient to the truth. Where in the Bible does your church named by the Spirit of God? Were any of the apostles the beginners of your church? The Church of Christ began with all 12 of the original apostles, and it finished with 13, which was Apostle Paul, that was called as an apostle out of due season. He was called after the fact. He was called by Christ, not by men. Paul was not made an apostle by men. He was made an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about that in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. Made an apostle after the church began. The church had been operating for 10 years before Paul ever obeyed the gospel. And Paul had obeyed the gospel. He had to be baptized to wash away his sins before he could start operating as an apostle. He couldn't preach God's word, and he had not obeyed it. He had to obey it. That's why he said in answering the Sanhedrin and the Roman leaders in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he said, Ananias said, Saul, why are you wasting time? You know what Saul was doing? He was praying for salvation. He was on his knees. He was on his trees. He was fasting and praying for 3 days, and he still wasn't saved. He had to do what every other Christian in the Bible did. Every Christian you read about in the book of Acts, and it records it, every Christian was baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Nobody was added or joined the Church of Christ in the Bible short of being baptized for the removal of their sins. Baptism, spiritually, it washes away your sins. Your sins are the spiritual transgressions against the word and the will of God. That's what it is. And only God can forgive those sins. And he forgives those sins by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. So you got to come to Christ. You got to believe Christ. You got to repent of your sins. Acts 17 and 30, in the days of old, God winked at sin. God made a temporary provision for sin. That's what the animal sacrifice was. But now God commands every man to repent of sin and to be baptized for the remission of sin. There is no excuse now for any man, because most of the world didn't have the covenant of Abraham and the law of Moses. They didn't have it. But today, every nation of men has the New Testament, perfect will of God for salvation. There's no excuse. You don't have to miss it. The Bible is written in 1,500 languages, so it's in your language too. You just have to go get the Bible, read it, study it, go and worship with the Church of Christ in your community, and be saved. Have your sins washed away in the water of baptism. The water symbolizes the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. The literal water doesn't do anything but get your literal body wet. Soul does not get wet in the water. The soul gets saved by water, by the blood of Christ, through faith. You got to believe, ladies and gentlemen. You must have faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11 and 6, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is That is, you must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe in the promise of God. What's the promise of God? Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is, you will inherit, you will receive eternal life. You got to believe in God and obey him. If you don't obey, you can't be saved. Somebody say, well, faith only will do it. That's what somebody say. The Bible says faith only does not save. Faith must have obedience with it. That's belief. Belief is saying, I believe, I agree with that. But faith is belief with obedience. No obedience, no faith. It's a dead faith if it has not obedience. It's a vain and worthless faith if it has no obedience. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. The question is even asked in the conclusion. Can you now see that faith or belief without obedience is dead? It's of no value? Then obey the faith that you receive, preaching of the word of God and the doctrine of Christ. Because faith in God comes through hearing the word of God. What do you mean hearing the word of God? Hearing the word of God with our mind will produce faith. If we reject the word of God by our mind, we have no faith. And many in the world reject the doctrine and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why men have gone about to start and to set up their own righteousness, to start their own religious movement, to build their own church, give it their own name, the name they wanted to have. God never named the church Baptist. He never named the church Catholic. He never named the church Methodist or Lutheran or Presbyterian. He never named the church Episcopalian. He never named the church Jehovah's Witness. He never named the church Mormon or Christian Scientist. He never named the church Congregational. He never named the church Potter's House. He never named the church Lakewood Church. He never named the church Church Without Walls. He never named the church the Holy Williams Church of God in Christ. He never named the church Tabernacle. He named the church Christ, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, because there is no other name that God has given to men whereby we must be saved. Read it. It's in the Bible. Write it down. Go back and read it. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible is the revelation of God. You want to know what God thinks? You want to know what God wants? You want to know what God expects of you? Read and study your Bible. Worship with a faithful group of people who believe and preach and teach what the Bible says. That's what God wants. Whosoever believeth and obeys shall be saved. That's what God wants. You want to know where God, you want to know the specifics, read the Bible. You need to know how to live. The instructions are written in the Word of God. We encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, today, this day, accept the truth. But you need to leave that false religion. Whosoever is not found written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's Revelation chapter 15, or Revelation chapter 20, rather, and verse 15. Revelation 20 and verse 15. God says, if your name, if your religious name, your religious church, your religious faith, your religious baptism, your religious living is not written in his word, your soul, your church, your faith, your doctrine is going to be cast into hell. That's the lake of fire and brimstone. And hell is eternal. That's the condemnation that is called the second death. In order to miss the second death, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you want to do. You don't want nothing in hell. Question might be asked, what do you want in hell? When you think about it, your answer is nothing. There's nothing to be desired of a soul in hell. You can't find nothing in hell you want. There's no salvation in hell. There's no God who is our Savior in hell. There's no righteousness in hell. There's no peace in hell. There's no love in hell. There's no joy in hell. There's no hope. And there is no eternal life in Christ in hell. You don't want to go to hell. But if you want to go to heaven, then you want to obey Christ and his will. You want to obey God's word. Christ gave the word by the power of his spirit in men who were inspired and wrote as they were told by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Men were directed by God to write the Bible. That's why there's no errors in it. If 40 men decide to write the same book, and when they get through writing it, you'll find disagreement between all 40 of them. Each of the 40 will have a disagreement with the other 39. The Bible is not the mind of man. It is a mind and the will and the revelation of God's mind to man and for man. But it is not the mind or the will of man. You can trust the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It's the truth. You can trust the word of God. It's the truth. Man has tried to tamper with the Bible, but what he done is he wrote another Bible. The Mormons have another revelation of Jesus Christ. They don't have the one that's in the Bible. They claim to serve Christ with another revelation that doesn't exist. Because the revelation that Christ gave, he told John in chapter 22, verse 18 through 20. He says, if any man add to the words of the prophecy of this book or take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, I will take away his heart. I will take away his hope of his salvation, and he will be cast into hell. All the plagues in that book, do you know that condemnation in hell is a plague? Yeah. We're not talking about getting bit by scorpions only. We're not talking about having blood to drink instead of fresh water. We're not talking about being eaten or having your fortune destroyed and eaten up by locusts, by economic locusts. We're talking about losing your soul in hell. That's what Jesus is talking about in Revelation. If you got another Bible, you got the wrong book to live by. The Word of God is written and has been preserved for all these tens of thousands of years that it has been on earth with man. It's been preserved. Man can try to change it, but he can't change it. All he can do is tell a lie. The Word of God is and will be the Word of God forever. When all the world, when all this earth and sky and universe that we know is dissolved and gone away, the only thing that will be left is God. God is the Word. The Word is God. The only thing that will be left is the Word of God. You might be in hell, but God is still God in heaven, and it will always be so. So you want to obey God. You want to think what God thinks. I don't know what God thinks. It's written in the Bible. That's the thought of God right there in the Bible. That's the one. That's the thoughts you can have. Now, you can't have all of God's thoughts because you're not God. but that's the ones that God gave you, and you can have them. They'll lead you from earth to the glory of eternity in life with God in heaven. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has a plain message. The difficulty today in understanding the simple gospel is that men have used their own wisdom and came up with their own righteousness, and they have lied on, and they have confused the minds of other men who are unlearned to what the Bible teaches by those devil doctrines that they teach. You see, God condemns that. In Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 3 and reading through verse 4 and 5, the Bible talks about the fact that men have set out to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. What's the righteousness of God? The gospel of our salvation, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood for the cleansing of our sins, and our obedience to that. That's the righteousness of God for our soul salvation. But we got some folks here, you don't have to obey the gospel. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Jesus said you got to be baptized to be saved in Mark 16, 15, and 16, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Christ said you got to be baptized. You have to have remission of sins. But man say you can get remission of sins without getting baptized. Man is a lie. God is the truth. You got to believe God. Man can't save man. God is the only Savior for man. Man can't save his own soul by his own power. Man can only save his soul by his faith and obedience to Christ. Christ didn't say that you can be saved without being baptized. He said you have to be baptized to be saved. Let God be true, every man a lie. But that's not news to us. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote to the evangelist, minister, and teacher of the Ephesian church in 64-66 A.D., Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. He says, in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. Who is some that depart? Those who believe the gospel. They're going to leave the gospel. They're going to give heed to doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirit is a lying spirit that tricks you. To be seduced is to be tricked. Tricks are for kids. God wants you to be a man, a mature man in the spirit, in faith. He wants you to be mature. He wants you to be able to stand and to refuse the tricks and the deceitful words and lies of Satan. He don't want us to fall like Eve did and Adam in the beginning. He don't want us to give in to Satan's doctrine. Oh, you might be persecuted. You may be talked about. You may be ridiculed. You may be rejected of friends and family and folks for your faithful stand on the truth. But God says you can handle it. You can handle it with my help. I am your strength. Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ. Oh, when temptations wear us down and bug us to death and exasperate us, and we're weak, Christ is our strength. He is strong. When we get weak, we need to turn to Jesus. Call on the Lord, and he will rescue you. But you got to believe God. You can't believe what men say. If they say it, challenge them and charge them to show you in the Bible where it says that all you have to do is say that I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and your sins are forgiven, and you are saved, without baptism. Show us that in the Bible. If they can't show it to you in the Bible, it's a lie. If it's not written, it's a lie. It's not the truth. Everything God wants you to know is written, and it's written in his holy book, the Holy Writ, the Bible. There's no excuse. There are no tricks. God not tricking you. God is opening up your mind's eye to understand and to know truth. God not into that. You don't play tricks. There's no trick or treat. That's the devil's game. God don't play that game. Trick or treat is a devil's lie. It's a devil's practice. It's a devil's doctrine. Christians have nothing to do with Halloween and trick or treat. Christ has nothing to do with Halloween and trick or treat. Don't teach your children that demonic doctrine. Don't tell them it's fun. Halloween is not a child's play day. Halloween is devilish. And you can lose your soul playing around fooling with Halloween. It has nothing to do with Christ. It's all about Satan and what Satan wants you to believe. But going back to Romans chapter 3, or chapter 10, rather, verse number 3, it says, men have rejected the righteousness of God and have gone about to establish their own righteousness. As Bob Hope would say, I want to have it my way. Well, that's what a lot of folks want with their religion. They want to have it their way. A lot of these religious teachers want to have it their way. So they say, I'm going to start my own church. And he'll tell you, this is my church. I'm the builder of it. I'm the pastor of it. I'm the owner of it. It's mine. But man ain't got no church that can save your soul. Man can't save his own soul by his own power. We need the power of God, and that is the grace of salvation from Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1, verse chapter 2, rather, and verse 11 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all mankind, teaching us that denying ungodly lust and worldliness, that we should live wisely, soberly. We should live according to the sound doctrine of Christ in this present life. That is, in this present world, while you are living in your natural life, you are to live in your spiritual life according to the written word of God. If it ain't written in God's word, it's not God's truth. It's a man's word. It's a man's doctrine. It's a lying doctrine. There's no salvation in it. Salvation is not based on who we're related to. It's only based on our relationship to Christ. I don't care who your mom, who your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your children, your brothers and sisters, your friends. I don't care who or what relationship you have in physical life. Unless you accept Jesus Christ into your life, by obedience to the gospel, you cannot be saved by anyone else. No one else can do it, only Christ. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, those who have been a part and listening in and participating as such, in support of this gospel ministry. We appreciate all who are on this call, but we're especially concerned about the welfare of the souls of those who have not obeyed the gospel and those who have obeyed the gospel yet have turned away, have fallen away from the truth. They have been turned unto fables, that story, tales and story lies and made up stories. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 4 is talking about. When they're going to be tricked and seduced by these doctrines of the devil, fall away. They're going to leave Christ, listen to all these stories and all these fairy tales and lies. The gospel, our broadcast,
rebuke, to reprove, that is to show again, and to exhort, that is to encourage you to obey the Lord Jesus Christ by the word of the gospel of salvation from Christ. The gospel is the only power God uses to save men. Everything that you need for salvation is in the gospel. The Holy Ghost is in the gospel. The remission of sin is in the gospel. The forgiveness of sin is in the gospel. Eternal life is in the gospel. Spiritual life and right relationship with God is in the gospel. Faith of God is in the gospel. Baptism of Christ. Church of Christ is in the gospel. The body of Christ is in the gospel. The gospel teaches and tells and demonstrates it all. The sacrifice, the payment price for our sin is in the gospel. God's power to save is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gospel has been made available to every man of every nation, so that none are without, none have an excuse. No excuse. The word of God is available. There are preachers all over the world. There are ministers of the Church of Christ in countries all over the world preaching the gospel of Christ. You need to hear it, believe it, obey it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before an audience of believers. Be willing to be baptized into Christ. Have your sins removed. To receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. That you might receive the Word of God, which is Holy Spirit and eternal life. See, unless you open up your heart to accept the word and the will of God, you can't receive it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And praising God, verse 47, and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How are they being saved? By obedience to the gospel in water baptism for the removal of sin. How are they being added to the Church of Christ? They were being added by Christ as a result of their faithful obedience to the gospel. The gospel has it all, ladies and gentlemen. The doctrine of Christ is in the gospel. That's all you need. Obey it, you'll be saved. Live it, you'll be saved. You'll be pleasing to God. Be faithful, and you'll be saved. That's God's will. God bless you tonight.
Thank you for calling in.
Prepare your heart. Prepare yourself. God wills that we live to see Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If we're able to reach that point, be ready to come on this call and listen to the gospel message. Be ready to find out what God wants you to know in order to be saved. With God's will, the world stands. We'll be back on Tuesday of next week. May God bless and keep all of us according to his righteous will. Let us pray. God, we thank you for another opportunity to preach your word, your gospel, to people all over the world, to invite men into the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, dear God, for providing the invitation, for making eternal life accessible to the soul of every man. Thank you, dear God, for paying the price for our sin to be taken away so that we might be perfect and complete. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Good night to one and all, and may God continue to bless us all as he sees fit. Amen.
Good night.